Welcome back. You're listening to A Certain Degree. I'm Nick. On this episode, Scotty Campbell, a person who is connected to Orlando, I don't think like anybody else. Currently working for the Orlando Shine and the Orange County Regional History Center, he's really got his finger on the pulse of what has happened in the Central Florida area and what's going on right now and how kind of sometimes those two things mesh. He is also a DJ here on WPRK. You can hear him live on 91.5 FM, Tuesdays at 9 a.m., The Rise and Shine Show with Scotty Campbell. Enjoy this conversation. Annie Lennox on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. You're listening to A Certain Degree. Good morning. My name is Nick. I am here every week from 8 to 10. I almost said 7 to 9 because I used to do a show 7 to 9. 8 to 10 on Wednesdays. With amazing guests. This week is no exception. The indomitable, the effervescent. I was trying to think of many, many different adjectives to use for you. Scotty Campbell is here.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning, Scotty. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
I posted about this yesterday. People seem genuinely excited to hear from you. So.
I know. That's nice to see and surprising.
Well, you must know just about everybody in town.
Oh, I think I know a lot of people, but of course we're in a town that's
a lot of
changing
people
changing all the time. Yeah. So, yeah.
At this point, I know this is getting off topic immediately, but what do you consider Orlando at this point? Because I know some areas, some cities.
Just saw some debate about this. I just feel like we're at a point where we need to own that. You know, we're becoming a bit of a metropolis. So you may be in an area. Even maybe this one,
Winter Park, Kissimmee,
that
Lake Nona.
You know, people are going to consider Orlando and just own it. You know, it's not like you go to the Bronx and you have to, and everybody's like, "We're the Bronx, we're not New York City."
Yeah, we're not Queens. You
know, So, I think we're at that point in our growth, but there definitely is some resistance to that.
I think so, but Central Florida is too hard to say. It's too nebulous because that could mean anywhere.
And at some point in my, I've been here since the 80s, and at one point Central Florida to people meant just this kind of belt across Florida.
Yeah.
And then the Gulf people were like, no, we're not Central Florida.
Tampa, you know? Or whatever.
Yeah.
Good. Well, you know what? We'll go through your resume a little bit because you are somebody who would be able to answer that question is you, just based on the history that you have here. I'm not going to go through your entire resume.
Okay.
Because we would be here for hours and hours.
We would.
But
I've been pretty fortunate.
You're wearing your Rollins shirt today.
I am.
You are a Rollins graduate.
I am.
So we're here on the campus and at WPRK.
Yep.
And I'm very excited about the Orlando Shine coming to WPRK. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
I'm going to tease that.
That's a teaser.
You guys
have to stay tuned.
But from a context perspective, you know Orlando because you are with the Orlando Shine.
Mm-hmm.
You do work for them. The Orange County Regional History Center.
Yep.
You're
That's
currently
the
there.
Yeah.
But then before that, Orange County Library System, Orlando Science Center. You were the Main Street Director for the Ivanhoe Village area. Orlando Ballet, Orlando Shakes, and then here at Rollins College. And that's just like those are highlights of ones that I know are, you know, organizations that I think everybody would know.
Right.
Yeah. But there was also some you were involved in a transportation organization at some point.
I was for about a year and a half. It was called Rethink Your Commute.
Yeah.
I'd never done a consulting situation. It was a contract through a government organization when I started it, I realized that they didn't care about this. It was a commuter assistance program trying to get people back and forth to work in some way other than alone in their car.
Yeah.
And the people who were working on it directly very, very, very much were passionate about it. But I didn't like that who we were working for. They didn't care. And that bore out because they recently killed the program. So,
and that explains it. So having that perspective of working for all these different organizations and everything else, then I'll ask you the same question. Like, what is Orlando? Not so much from a regional perspective or having been here for so long. I came in the mid-90s.
Wow.
And so I see it as it far and away very different from then.
For sure.
But, you know, I think I came here and I had a chip on my shoulder in the late 90s, early 2000s for all the people who were leaving. Who felt like they couldn't do They couldn't do the thing they wanted to do.
We were very transitory at that time. Yeah.
And so, you know, that it still makes me angry. Like, I want to do a story about it for the community paper about the people who left and came back and like what the perspective was around that. But what is Orlando to you after being with so many different organizations?
Well, you know, it's changed over time because I moved here in 88, moved here with my family. We my dad was in the Air Force. We were stationed in Germany. When we made the move, he was doing his first retirement, and we picked Orlando because there were some tenuous Florida ties, and then Orlando was on the front of Time magazine as like the place to be, the fastest growing city or something of that sort. A lot of that tied into Hollywood East. There was a lot of promise about you know, the movie industry happening here, which was at the time happening. At that time, I feel like people very much thought of we had the theme park area, and that was kind of like our industrial area, and then people lived in another place. And then I feel like over time, we've gotten more at peace with the fact that we are this cool local place. You can have local brews and that sort of thing and enjoy your Orlando. But we're also this awesome place where you can get on I-4 and see Mickey. I think people are a little bit more at peace with. Now, there are, don't get me wrong, I worked at the History Center, and I know that there are some folks who have been here, you know, old school folks who are still angry that Walt Disney did them wrong by buying this land. And that's when it ruined Orlando. But I don't agree with that. But does that answer the question
about
what Orlando is like? It's still this place that is growing and is a city, but getting on the big side. But there's still a lot of promise, which makes it particularly exciting, a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, and I think that from, again, this like late 90s, early 2000s kind of attitude that I have, very bad attitude, there was this sort of line of delineation, like Sand Lake Road was the farthest south I was ever going to go, and that was it. And then talking to people now, after they've had their kids, after like they don't have their annual passes anymore because they want to go with their children, they're just like, I'm going to tool down to Epcot and drink a little bit, hang out, and then come back and ride.
I just
Guardians.
Got my annual pass. So this isn't after kids, but still.
It never occurred to me that that could just be like a casual thing. Cause the only way I experienced Disney as a child growing up, it was this big, we lived in Daytona. It was only an hour away, but it was this big to do. You had to get everybody in. You had to get everybody in the car. You had to get there first thing in the morning and then spend the entire day there in order to get your value.
Yep.
And it just became this terrible place to me that, you know, you just have to force the fun out.
Everybody angry by the time they got to the Electric Light Parade.
I also wandered off a few times. So I think that affected my family in terms of like, okay, we always lose you in places. So we're not going to go to one of those places. Like, that's the best place to lose me. Come on. Yeah. Because you can't say who your favorite is, like what were some of your highlights here in terms of the organizations that you've worked at? I know you've brought a lot to the table for the Regional History Center, just looking at some of the programming and doing the marketing communications there, letting people know what's going on there. But what are some of the other things like you've been like, oh man, I always remember this part of the library, or I always remember this part of the ballet.
Yeah, So definitely the library was a great experience for me. I consider it, I honestly, somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm hoping I get back to working for a library system because I considered it a privilege to work for the library system. For me, it was also a moment in time, though, because we had a really good, we had a really strong marketing team. Mm-hmm. And I got a little spoiled, we had a good videographer. We had a great photographer, solid, digital media person, and great graphic designers. And so it was a good team, and they're all friends, to this day. I would say I really, enjoyed my time at, Blue Man Group, doing marketing for them. That unfortunately met the recession, so that's how that's how that went. But I really enjoyed it. I actually, we just recently got to go to the like a preview show or something
for the
new one that's on iDrive there at Icon Park. And it was just very, I didn't expect it to be so nostalgic for me. And I was definitely moved by it. It was a fun group to work with. And there were some really top-notch professional people to learn from. And I was the local guy contributing. So, you know, I felt like I was smart just for living here. So, yeah, I think those are, you know, of course, you know, I go, my first job when I worked here in 88 was working for Church Street Station back when Bob Snow was still around. So, you know, so I am that, you know, older person going back in the day, you know, remembering when Church Street thrived. So.
Were you a performer there? What were you doing over there?
No, I was working in a hamburger stand.
Nice.
There at Commander Ragtime's, which was on the top of the Exchange,
yep.
Which is still apparently a bit of a thriving building, definitely different because it was at that time like a mall, basically a mall with four floors. And so I was working at the hamburger stand and then for a while, on the other side of the floor was a gaming place that was run by Atari, and I was working there too, working two jobs because I just thought I needed all the money. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a lot of money.
It was the 80s.
I was working hard for it, you know.
It was greed is good kind of time.
Yeah. But it was, you know, that was a great experience, and I feel lucky to have had it and seen, you know, that was a, you know, showing a shift in time because Pleasure Island at Disney, as much as I loved going there, it was a direct, you know, it was like a battleship direct hit on Church Street Station. That it was that much of a popular area, and seeing all that change would, you know, that was sad. And of course, you know, walking through that ghost town right now is tough, but
I remember, so late 90s, it was still open. I would still go over there, work downtown. Mm-hmm. And I would still go over there. The food court was still open, and you could still go to the arcade. There were still a few things in there. But I remember going as a kid all the time.
Yeah.
And then driving when I could drive. I drove my cousins or anybody who was visiting out here and go to Church Street.
It was really affordable from what I remember.
Yeah,
we got a pass and would go, you know, as a family all the time. Yeah.
You could do that. There's Sac Comedy Lab.
Yep.
I found Fringe by accident. I had some friends who knew about
downtown.
It.
Downtown,
yeah. Back in the day.
Yep.
Let me ask you to put your Orlando Shine hat. Are you have to be pretty consistently like I'm with the Regional History Center or I'm with Orlando Shine?
For sure. And of course, Orlando Shine is brand new. So not quite a year yet. So, you know, so all that's
happy
new
birthday,
to navigating.
Orlando Shine.
Yeah. For sure. I try to, you know, I definitely do. I do that with work with most things, being tied with Orange County government, you know, I try to be very careful about, you know, this is the delineation here, but yeah, for sure.
And for those people who don't know, you should go and follow Orlando Shine on all the social medias. You should go to OrlandoShine.com to keep up with what's going on, up to the minute news around Orlando, started by Brendan O'Connor.
Yeah.
A few people who are helping him with that, including my guest today, Scotty Campbell. Brendan's been on the show a couple of times.
Yeah.
And we've talked about news that's going on. So just kind of, again, putting your hat on for Orlando Shine and thinking about Church Street and the recent change the first vote. I have mixed feelings about it.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, because I get where they're coming from. So this is City Council. We'll hold a second vote for this next month, I think. They just did the first vote. So the way City Council works is if a new idea comes up, they usually have to do multiple votes on it in order for it to go through.
Right.
This would be putting a moratorium on one of the Historic Preservation Board looking at plans for specific types of buildings. I think there's about 60 of them in the downtown area of whether or not stuff can be done to them. And so it just seems very, in my opinion, it seems very performative. There's nothing that was really holding people back. If you look at the Historic Preservation Board, they're like, we haven't said no to a project in 5 years.
Right.
And all they're doing, the Historic Preservation Board, are suggestions. Right. The city can still say, or the Municipal Planning Board can still say, OK, yeah, we get it, but we're still going to move forward.
Right.
So this seemed very, very performative. It was a little bit frustrating because, you know, there was really no reason to do this. It's not necessarily going to spur growth. So I just wanted to get your take on it and see how you felt about it.
Well, I do think, though, that there's the potential that it will give license for things to happen. A lot of people are pointing to when the historic buildings were knocked down for the Plaza building there on the corner of Church and Orange. There was this opera house that I never got to go in. It wasn't being used at the time. And now it's a plaque on the side of that building, which unfortunately was also poorly constructed, poorly conceived. But, you know, it's I think part of the tough thing for me is it's hard to not think of developers, the development world as something of a cult where they kind of believe these, they'll say things like, you know, mixed use and retail and we're going to have this. And then just ignoring the fact that it isn't working. I was I'm doing Connect DTO right now. I have one more session. I highly recommend it for anybody who's interested in downtown. It's through the DOP, the Downtown Orlando Partnership. And there is a fee, but it's not much. And you learn a lot and gain a deeper appreciation for downtown. A couple of those have been with developers. And during one, there was one talking about how we needed to get our rental rates up higher, that was the answer. And I was just not understanding the logic there. You know, we were actually in a building where across the floor there was a restaurant space that I happen to know has been empty, a cafe space that's been open for empty for 20 years. And I thought, how does this make sense that you think we're going
higher
to rate higher rental
to,
you know, square footage rates? So I have a little skepticism in that, but that there might maybe some naivete in there, but it does sound like the approach may be a little different where, you know, facades are kept and buildings aren't. And Brendan was recently, did a trip to Athens. His alter ego, Brenda, went up. But he said there's a lot of that in Athens. And
Athens, Georgia?
Athens, Georgia.
Greece.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they keep a lot of facades in Greece, too.
And I'm not sure Brenda would be invited to Greece anytime soon. But yeah, Athens, Georgia, he was invited up to Pride. And he said he didn't hate it. So maybe it's also discussions. But at the moment, it's a little hard to not think of it in, you know, nefarious terms. We've got, you know, an administration ending, so it feels like there's, you know, a little less care, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and less oversight. And I'm all for tearing stuff down. Brendan and I talked extensively, and you can look this up at toacertaindegree.com if you wanted to, about the Lube House. So he was for keeping it. I'm like, tear it down.
Oh, I'd like to see that stay around. I'm on the keeping it.
Yeah,
side,
and I understand if we can figure out what we can use it for. Mm-hmm. But if it's gonna sit empty, if it's gonna sit vacant. So normally, my point is, normally I'm like for tearing stuff down in order to build something new. But to your point, I don't think there's a cohesive plan,
right.
what that could be that would actually benefit downtown. I think they're doing a lot of stuff at once, whether it's trying to kill off nightlife, which they did before.
Yeah, they've done, you know, that's not
2000s.
That's not a new thing. And Glenda Hood, when she was mayor, Rollins grad, when Glenda was, I call her Glenda because we're good pals.
As we all are.
Her thing was tattoo parlors, and she was shutting those down. And it didn't make sense to me even back then as a younger person. If it's working, why are you're fighting against it, you know. I understand you don't want it to become the red light district or anything like that, but it's tattoo parlors
or in
Orlando, out loud, you know.
Yeah. The wig shops, the head shops that were downtown, just walking around.
Funky it was bars like Big Bang.
So much fun. Yeah. It was so much fun back in the day. And it's still a lot of fun. Obviously, there's still a lot of people going downtown, but it seems like it's gone back to, because again, they didn't have that plan in place. It's gone back to people filling in the different areas, and it's nightclubs are easy.
Right. Yeah. Know? Yeah. And it's, you know, as COVID showed us, you know, drinking, that industry doesn't go away. So
nope.
Stay strong.
All right, so let's stop yelling at iCloud. Sometimes I feel like that's what we're doing. But OrlandoShine.com, what are some of the stories that you're working on, that Brendan's working on, that you're excited about, or even some of the stories that have come out recently that you're like, I'm glad we did this?
Oh, well, wow, that's a great question. Well, for me, I help where I can. And right now what I'm working on is a roundup of places that you can go for World Cup celebrations.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm working on that. So sometimes and then every once in a while, something that's in my niche will be thrown my way, or I find something. So
Fringe.
Yeah, what's that?
Like Fringe.
Yeah, yeah. I got to write quite a bit about that and the previews, and because it's something that I'm, you know, familiar with I was a theater major here at Rollins, and I have done several shows for Fringe, been on different sides of it. Mm-hmm. So, for sure. Well, I do think that. This story, about the historic preservation, an interesting story that's happening right now that I feel like is developing are these bomb scares that have been happening at the wildlife places. I don't know how else to call them, but the Sanford Zoo had a bomb scare, and also then it happened at Gatorland, I believe, just yesterday.
Oh, I didn't realize.
And then apparently there are other places in the country that this is happening. So they don't seem to know what's happening, or I'm not sure if the police are, I would think they're starting to connect this, it's different counties, but maybe that seems to be something to watch. And you can read more about that on those websites.
Yeah. Very nice. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We're going to talk more with Scotty about local journalism, internal biases. We're going to talk about the music you picked today. So we played Annie Lennox at the beginning of the show. Walking on Broken Glass. Is that how you feel sometimes?
I guess I do, but I think that's what we'd call a banger, that song. And I just love her, and had the opportunity, gosh, I can't remember what year it was, to see her at Tampa Theater and scored the third row. Wow. And it was just this lovely, intimate show. I've been a big fan of hers as a performer, but also as a person for a long time. So I had to make sure Annie was in there.
Yeah, no, and that'll be good. So what about this next song? How about Sarah
Bareilles?
Bareilles.
Yeah. Sir Bareilles and Brandi Carlile.
Yeah.
Salt Then Sour Then Sweet, which is a song, I think they wrote it specifically for a documentary about a poet named Andrea Gibson. She was the poet laureate of Colorado at one point. And there's a beautiful documentary that you can see. And I'm not going to remember the name of it, but it's about Andrea had cancer, and it's about her battle with that. And it's beautiful, Oscar nominated. And Brandi Carlile was involved, and Tig Notaro was involved with it.
Wow.
And I was very hopeful it would score the award, but I'm sure something deserving one that I can't remember what it was.
Perfect.
But yeah, it's a beautiful song based. So it's one of Andrea Gibson's poems, and then I think Sarah was the one who made it into a song and then invited Brandi along. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. I'm learning so much today. I really appreciate that. Scotty Campbell from not only the Orlando Shine, but the Orange County Regional History Center. You can learn more about the Regional History Center at thehistorycenter.org or follow them on socials. It's either History Center FL or The History Center. One of those
Dependent.
Two.
Yeah. You'll find it.
You can do it. We believe in you. Salt, then sour, then sweet on WPRK Winter Park, Florida. You're listening to A Certain Degree.